Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind. God's kind of love is not easily provoked. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my guest, Juana Michaels, from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome again, Juana.
Thank you.
Juana has told us a wonderful story this week of how she and her husband had what appeared to be a very happy marriage, then things fell apart, and through the amazing grace of God, they were brought back together. They now have a happy marriage, 3 children, and Juana has been learning all kinds of things. There was a time when you made out a list of ways in which you had failed your husband, Terry.
Yes.
How about giving us a few samplers?
This is a rather long list, but a couple of them are, I failed Terry because I was more concerned about my needs rather than his needs. I was more concerned about being loved than loving. I didn't show him that I cared in ways important to him. Towels neat, dishes clean, clean car.
Hair on the bathroom floor.
Yes.
We talked about that yesterday, didn't we?
Uh-huh.
When you realized these ways in which you had failed your husband, then God worked in your heart in such a way as to bring you back together, right?
Yes.
And having 3 children now, you've learned some lessons about what the word ministry means. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and you have helped me tremendously with that, that ministry is serving, and that when you fold the towels because it pleases your husband, when you get the hair off the floor because it pleases your husband, when you choose to say Chinese will be fine and you're just mouth watering for pizza, you are serving, and that is ministry. It's in that quiet life that 2 Corinthians talks about, that you have pointed that out so beautifully to our listeners and to your listeners, and we say thank you, because Jesus says that when you have done it to the least of these of my brethren, you've done it for me. And whatever you do, do it with all your heart. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So whether I'm working for Xerox Corporation or whether I am at home with my family, it's the same Lord that we are really serving if we're doing what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, the way a Christian should do it. That's ministry.
And I believe that it is quite literally the taking up of the cross, Juana. Because the cross cuts across our preferences. And as you just mentioned, Chinese versus pizza. Yes. It's a very trivial little matter, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It may seem like a real big one when you're kind of upset with your husband because he picked the wrong restaurant. But what a triviality if we simply graciously relinquish a preference. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the taking up of the cross is very rarely anything heroic. It's usually the quiet, glad acceptance of some small task which is distasteful to us.
Yes.
Some small little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned the towels. What about the towels in the linen closet?
Well, when we first married, I literally threw the towels. It's humiliating to now say this, but I threw the towels in the closet. I mean, that's the linen closet. I knew they were in there. Wasn't that good enough? And my husband just said, couldn't you just fold it before you put it in? And, of course, I didn't see that as important. Same thing with hanging up my clothes. I had a spare bedroom, an extra bedroom where I put my clothes. I didn't hang them up, so I just called it the mountain. And when the clothes got really high, I closed the door so I couldn't see the mountain.
So you learned through cleaning up the black hair on the white tiles in the bathroom and folding the towels to put into the closet that order in your life is an important thing. I love the hymn by John Greenleaf Whittier that has a stanza that says, "Let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace." Mm. Do you think it really makes any difference to God whether you fold the towels and put them in the closet?
I think if you do it with a sense of sacrificial love for your spouse, it makes a tremendous difference.
And there is order in God's universe, isn't there?
Yes.
Why shouldn't there be order in our homes?
Yes.
You mentioned somebody on a tape that I heard by you who said to you, "What's wrong with chaos?"
Yes.
What was your answer?
That God was the God of order, and that a peaceful home was a well-ordered home. And I just love, I mean, I have to laugh. The tape you mentioned, I taught a class at our church last month on home and time management in the home. And I mean, here I am, an absolute slob at heart, and I'm teaching classes on order. Now, I don't do that very much. That's the first one I've ever taught. And in fact, sitting down with you, this is not something I normally do because my ministry is full-time at home, being a full-time wife and mother of three. But at this moment, this is our ministry. And when I did teach that class last month at our church, that was my ministry. And I'm just so delighted and delighted to be here because so many others have helped me, older women like yourself and others, that to be able to give out God's word and show others what a tangible difference He's made in my life is just a gateway to joy.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you teach your children order.
I try to teach them, I think of the verse precept upon precept, because it's little bit by little bit from when they get up. I just stay with them and try to teach them to put it away. I eliminated a lot of stuff that we had so that it would be easier for them and need to do it again. It's a constant thing that I work at. And if you came over my house right now, there are some closets that are out of order. But it's my goal to get them back in order and to just continue to, not for the sake of order, let me just make that clear. It's because people live in that home. And a home that's where you can find what you need and it's in the place where you need it. My son actually got cut. My husband was home for lunch, and he quickly needed gauze and scissors, and it worked like the operating room. He said, "I need scissors," and I got scissors, and he needed gauze, and I got gauze. And it was immediately after I had done a major cleanup, and it was like a confirmation from above that this was needed in our home.
Now, how old is your youngest?
Just turned two.
Okay. Is that a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Do you begin, by the time he's 2 years old, teaching him
No.
little things about how to get or how to put order?
No, even when they're in the playpen or in their bed, if they have little toys or things with them, before you pick them up and take them out, you can have them put it in a box.
So you start before they're two.
Oh, yes. Yes. Actually, when they, and I've gotten better at it with each child. The third one, I started literally at the hospital. I told the nursing staff when to bring him to me to be fed.
How interesting. And how old are the other two children?
7 and 4.
Well, you've been talking about teaching these little children. Have you learned some things about respecting the children's father and his preferences?
Yes, that has been a hard one for me because how are they going to respect their father when I was showing him a lack of respect? And my eyes have been opened in the last year about that. If my husband said something, perhaps in the discipline area that I disagreed with, I would literally roll my eyes at him and he could read my body language that I did not agree with this thing he was saying or doing. And the Lord has really worked with me in that area to be quiet and to actually support what he's doing by saying, "You heard your father, now go," or "Daddy has asked that you pick this up, now let's pick it up cheerfully." Support him, whether I agree. I may see, my tendency is to side with the child and to make an excuse, "Well, they're really tired," or, "Well, they're almost finished with it," and to start to give all these reasons for them. What they need the most is a mother that loves their father and that shows him the respect that he gets for the position that he is in. Whether we agree or not is beside the point. But to show him that respect, and I am learning that lesson.
And if you think he's making a mistake, you can always remember that it was God who assigned your husband the position of authority. And therefore, your husband has to answer to God. And when you comply with something that you don't think makes any sense, you can trust God to take care of the results of that.
That's
now,
right.
Do your children have to do any chores, or do you do all the housework.
No, they need to help with the chores. And I've learned a lot of this from hearing interviews with your daughter. My little one can even help putting things away from when he was in the playpen. My middle four-year-old helps to put away the silverware. They can feed the dog. My seven-year-old is responsible for tidying her room and making her bed. The four-year-old makes his bed also with me helping. You may be thinking, well, wouldn't this be quicker if you just did it yourself? And it would be, because sometimes the simple things I've just described to you can take us 45 minutes because I have to go back and inspect what they've done. They didn't do it right. I have to go back sometimes three times, and it gets very tiring. But I want to do it right the first time. I want to train them right the first time. I'm just so delighted that I have learned these things, and I am learning them right along with them. They're learning to...
And it is so well worth it. When mothers say, oh, but it takes me three times as long to teach them how to do it, I don't care if it takes you 10 times as long. It is not going to last very long. The earlier you start, the more quickly the child learns that this is the way it's going to be, and there's not going to be any change in this. You're not going to let them off the hook. They are going to have to do these little jobs, and you are not doing them any favor if you do all the stuff yourself. Well, Juana Michaels, I am so grateful to have had you here, and I wish we had lots more time to talk, but you have given us some things to think about: how to love your husband, how to love your children, and how to love God in the ordinary humdrum way of living at home. Thank you ever so much for coming.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.